Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need to work quickly and confidently, you need Grammarly. It's a trusted AI writing partner that helps you get work done faster with better writing. And it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Get AI writing support that works where you work. Sign up and download for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly, easier said, done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Gentlemen, welcome. It is June 1st. Happy Pride, y'all. It is Fightful Collision. It is your girl, Cresta Star, with the beautiful, illustrious, the fantastic, the 10-time Intercontinental Championship winner, Iridian. How are you doing today, Iridian?
Goodbye. You are my tag team partner on the Saturday nights, okay? So we are tag team Continental champs on this channel. Love to see it. I'm doing so great. I miss you so much. I wish you were in Vegas with me, but I'm so glad that I get to stream with you tonight. I'm super excited to see you. How are you? How have you been?
I'm doing well. Speaking of Vegas, how was that? How was Double or Nothing? Before we get into Collision, y'all, I saw your stories. I was hating hard from the cheap seats. You and Wrestling Wind Down looked like y'all had so much fun. I want to go. I want to sit with you guys. You guys are the cool kids.
Stop. We had a really, really great time. I was there for like a week. I got there Wednesday, left on Monday. I went to see Nigel McGuinness's magic show. It was incredible. My mind was blown. He was doing some like mental magic. I did not know what was going on, but I loved it. He came to say hi to each and every one of the tables after the show. We got a picture with him.
I saw. Did you tell me Mark Feifel? Did you really
I didn't. No, I didn't. I said, can I take my picture, please? And he said, of course. And we took the picture. So 10 out of 10, Nigel. Love to see it.
Nigel is a hater on screen, but a certified lover boy in real life.
He is. He was fantastic. I loved his magic set. And the pay-per-view was amazing. I loved Anarchy in the Arena. Literally seeing Jungle Boy get set on fire in person, incredible. Incredible. Don't want to see it again, but it was amazing.
That is why I don't want to see it again. No. But it was great.
Yeah.
You know what else was great tonight? Collision. I thought Collision was really good tonight. I haven't been really watching wrestling, and I had said this on the post show for TNA. My muggle job has taken up so much of my time. I'm finally demuggled, y'all. So I'm doing wizard shit all the time, and I can't wait. So now I can finally get back into the meat and potatoes of wrestling. And tonight was it was really good. What'd you think of Collision overall tonight?
You know what? I thought it was great, especially coming right off of a pay-per-view. I thought Dynamite was also fantastic. I still have not caught up on Rampage, but I do want to see it because I know Takeshita went against one of the Lucha Brothers, I want to say.
He went against Penta.
Might have been Penta. Not sure, but I know Takeshita was fighting, so I need to see that match. I know it was good. And, man, they've just been, you know, they're doing a good job. So I thought tonight's Collision was really, really good, even though we only got one women's match. But we can only say that so much.
Listen, and it wasn't at 9:20, so you gotta take what you can. You get what you get. And it was a good match, though. It was a short match.
Yes.
But it was a good one. Mm-hmm. You know what? Let's just get into the matches. So we start off Collision tonight with FTR in-ring interview with Tony Schiavone. And I want to talk really quickly about etiquette. I know this is not what you guys came for, but I want to talk about etiquette. Before I talk about etiquette, I want to show off this super chat. Twinblade starting us off right, saying it's ladies' night. Will y'all join the Tuesday, Friday night bang bangs? Get, I don't know. Shaw Rasta refuses to join and we must destroy him. I don't know what that is. And I'm going to have to respectfully, humbly decline.
Yeah, same. And also, if we destroy Sean, we don't get our paychecks. So we love Sean. 10 out of 10. So yeah.
Love Sean. And you know what else we love? Fightful Select, the best $5 in the business. We got Becky Lynch contract updates. We got all these. Sean Ross app is on there. So guys, don't forget to subscribe to Fightful Select. We like Sean. Sean signs our texts.
Yeah, we love Sean. 10 out of 10. I always get my scoops on there. They send a newsletter out with all the spoilers, with all the news that you need to know. And you can also choose not to see the spoilers because it says, you know, it says in the little headline right there. If you don't want to see it, don't read it. But best $5, honestly, it's incredible. It's where I get all of my news and you need to subscribe. Patreon. And also we have the Discord. I know Kate's always on there. Sean's always on there. 10 out of 10 for Fightful.
Period. And so if you want to get in on the conversation like Twin Van Blade, go ahead and leave us a super chat. It is somewhere in the YouTube land, somewhere in the screen. I am the worst and the best at the same time. Also, if you want to get in the conversation, send us a Humper Chat. Head on over to humperchats.com. You can put your question in the little question box. Put your dollar in the little dollar amount. We get to keep a little bit more. And you put money in me and Iridian's pocket so we can go to Vegas together next year.
Fund the trip.
Fun trip. Okay, back into this in-ring promo with Tony Schiavone and FTR. Cash Wheeler goes into a really, what I think is a nice monologue about, like, listen, we told you we were going to do one thing, and it's kind of hard being out here because we lost. I mean, to quote Iridian, Jungle Boy did get set on fire, so that got to mean something. So Jungle Boy was going to win. You know what I mean? Like, that's got to mean something. So, back to my etiquette dialogue that I'm going to get into. Listen, I love wrestling as much as the next person, but there was a level 1000 heckler that every time Dax tried to say anything, all I heard in somebody's microphone was, ah! Ah! I'm like, bro, I get it. I'm glad you're reacting, but yo, calm down, my guy, calm down.
It's so funny.
What did you think of this promo, Iridian?
It's so funny that you mentioned that because that's the first thing that I thought. I was like, am I hearing something? I was a little caught off guard, but someone was literally booing their head off and they had to be like close to the floor. And then you heard someone else say, shut up.
Because, bro, it was a very emotional, sweet moment. And this person was just like, no, this is my moment and I'm going to have it. It's like, this is not your moment, sweetie.
And I get it. You paid your ticket. You can boo. Absolutely. But then there also needs to be a point where you let the performer perform and in this case, cut the promo. So we needed to hear what they were going to say in order to progress the storyline, right? We need to get to the next segment. We need to know what's next for FTR, what they think. And you can feel however you want about any single talent and boo them, of course. But this was just like, a little too loud, sir. If we could hear you on TV, you're a little too loud.
And this is coming from someone who covers Impact, where there's regularly level 99 hecklers in the hard cam, like where you can hear it. This was just like, listen, I get it. Like Iridian said, you paid your ticket. I want you to have a great time. But that was
too much.
That was too much, bro. Because like, honestly, I could not remember anything Dax said because all I kept hearing is, boo, boo, boo. I'm like, are you a child? Like, I don't know that I feel bad because I don't know. All I remember is top guys out and this guy just screaming at the top of his lungs. I'm like, good for you. I'm glad you had your moment, sir. Good for you. You had your moment.
And I was writing down my notes. I literally have three bullet points for this because I was distracted by that. I don't know if we're like super distracted that we couldn't focus. You know, you and me, that's just how we are. But my three bullet points are like, anarchy in the arena. They lost. Wonderful. They're devastated. They lost at Double or Nothing. And then it's going to be the summer of AEW, which I'm like, that, I don't know what that means because AEW is always AEW. So they could have been like, it's going to be the summer of FTR. That would have made a little bit more sense to me. But I mean, I thought it was fine for what it was. I honestly thought FTR was going to get booed a little bit more, but they didn't. So it is what it is.
I feel like FTR is at the point where they're good in every hood. I was surprised they got even heckled or booed a little bit. I was surprised. It's not even like we're in Rancho Cucamonga where the Bucks are from. You know what I mean? Like we're not in their home. I was surprised they even got booed. Mm-hmm. And the segment was fine. We then get a Jack Perry recap. And I have two bullet points that says, why he yelling? He was mad. I couldn't tell you what he was mad about. He said, nobody believed in AEW more than I did. And right when I started to believe, you blamed me for everything. And I'm like, you know, I seen the footage. I laughed. And, you know, you didn't get blamed for it. So, you know, he's not wrong. But why are you yelling? He did get set on fire. I would yell, too, if I got set on fire. What did you think of this recap, Iridian?
I loved it because I didn't, I missed it when they played it the first time. So I needed this little recap of him doing the promo. He was in the shower, which I'm like, okay, I get it. Maybe this was right after he got set on fire. Totally get it. But he said, I got set on fire in the name of AEW. All right. This means something. Like you said, he said the company turned its back on me, but technically he is one of the OG AEW talents. Like he was there with
Jurassic. A pillar even at one point.
A pillar. Yes. Oh my God. Which takes me back to when all four of them were in the ring like that. Like that was crazy. Do you remember when it was Sammy Guevara, Jungle Boy, MJF, and then Darby? Insane. That promo.
We were doing this to Jungle Boy. But Jungle Boy had a smaller boy and a dinosaur.
Yes, when it was Luchasaurus and Marco Stunt and him, and they were incredible. So he is literally an OG talent, and he's always like, he's an AEW guy. You can't say that he's not. And now he says that he's going to be, you know, shaping the future of AEW with blood, sweat, and fire. So I know that I had said that I don't want to see him lit on fire again. And I mean that. I think that was a nice one-time thing. Maybe you can save it 5 years from now. I don't think we need to add it to the moveset, to the routine. But I'm so ready for this. Sign me up. Pack your bags, Cresta. We're going on this double-decker bus tour that Jack Perry is, you know, hosting.
I will say AEW is king of waste not, want not. They repurposed the Cody Vader, and we're now going to repurpose the Chris Jericho I'm a wizard gimmick. We're going to use it. We waste not, want not over here. We get into our first match, which is Roderick Strong with the Undisputed Kingdom, Matt Taven. I guess it's undisputed if what's his name is there, Adam Cole, baby, but he wasn't. So it was Matt Taven and Mike Bennett versus Lio Rush. I liked this match, but I did not like this match. And let me tell you why. Mm-hmm. I did not like Lio Rush getting abused for free. For free. Mm-hmm. And right when he started to turn it around, pitch. I'm like, oh, that's not nice.
Commercial break.
And then we come back from pitcher and pitcher. Lio Rush getting beat up again. Boo! Yo, talk to your camera. Talk to your production crew. Talk to your production crew because that was not the one. I've been covering Lio Rush in TNA, and to see him get ragdolled for like a good 10 minutes did not sit right in my spirit. I did not like that. Roderick Strong was looking strong. This match, there's so many points in this match that was really good. For like the first 75% of it, though, it's all Roderick Strong. Leo Rush's gear, really good. But after that point, it was that chest chop to Leo Rush that was disgusting. There was that butterfly suplex on Leo Rush that was disgusting. Matt Taven cheating, which was disgusting. Like, it was so awful until Leo Rush got that bottom rope dive after the middle rope dive. But then we went to commercial. I mean, that was right when we came back from commercial. And then it was a whole bunch of spinning sequences. And then, the roundhouse kick into the jump. Into the step up into Guri, I was like, yes, Leo Rush. But then the Undisputed Kingdom got involved again. How many times? Why were they not ejected? The end comes when Leo Rush goes for a splash after taking out the Undisputed Kingdom. They both die, but Roderick Strong gets the knees up and then transitions into an end of heartbreak on Leo Rush. Iridian, what did you think of this match?
So this was interesting for me because if they're going to use Leo Rush, totally am for him coming on Collision and making his appearances in AEW. But if it's just going to be like a 2 or 3 match type of thing, then not to say like why even feature him, but why are we having him, you know, come up when there's people who are on your roster in AEW that you're not using? So I would be for it if we get a Leo Rush storyline, because I think it's great. But honestly, when I see Leo Rush, the only thing that I can think of is like Lashley.
That's not even fair. I mean, that's fair because you didn't watch him in TNA. But I do think of pointing to his butt.
Yeah, and that's another thing too. Like, I did not watch him in TNA after he wasn't in WWE anymore. So I haven't followed along with him, but I know he's a fantastic wrestler, which is also upsetting now, you know, that we watch this and he's like picture in picture and it's not the longest of matches. And like, why are you going to have him out there if you're going to kind of display him, but then not have him on anymore? So I don't know. The fact that Matt Taven was out there and put on Leo's jacket and then Nigel says, that's gangsta. Goodbye. This
I'm Nigel. Didn't you get in trouble for that before, Mr. Ghetto Booty? Pepperidge Farm remembers. Okay. All right. That jacket was nice. I would have put the jacket on.
That was a nice jacket.
I would have put the jacket on too. And since you get that jacket from Seth Rollins, let me know. Send us a DM. That was a nice jacket. It was a nice jacket. It was a nice jacket.
It was good. It was good. You outdid yourself, Leo. But man, he it was just insane. And I don't. Not to say that I don't like the Undisputed Kingdom, but like, I guess I just feel
you don't like the Undisputed Kingdom. It's quite all right. Matt Taven and Michael Bennett are really good at being annoying. It's totally fine.
You know what it is? It's like, I'm not invested either way if they're good or bad right now. And that's, again, my opinion. You guys might feel differently, but that's just me. That's how I feel. I think Roderick would be great right now by himself. I don't think he needs to be in this group. Or I really just think they need Adam. Like, I think they're all great when it's the four of them. Something needs to happen here. The math isn't mathing for me on the Undisputed Kingdom. But that's just me.
It's funny you say the math isn't mathing, because the whole time I was watching his match tonight, I was watching it in Discord with a friend of mine. And he said, why Roderick Strong like a math teacher?
Not Roddy. But you know what? I did get interested afterwards when he was like backstage yelling, Tony! And I said, here we go. We're doing something. What's happening? Like, I was interested then. And it's crazy because like, I was watching the match, but I was like, oh, okay. Like, we could be doing other things, right? And that's no offense to them, because they're fantastic wrestlers. I wasn't invested in this one.
But you know who is invested? Tyrone Kidd, who sends us $2, says, just because we, or me, love Crescent and Iridian. And you know what? Real love. We're searching for a real love. We also have another super chat here from Ricardo. Little Stinger says, a wild Iridian appears. Hi, Cressa. Does that mean I'm about to get into a trainer battle with Iridian?
Oh.
If you are Pokemon, what Pokemon type would be Iridian?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, my goodness. Put it in the chat, guys. I honestly don't know.
If Iridian was a Pokemon type, what type would she be, y'all? Put it in the chat. Put it in the chat.
In the chat, yeah.
And we got one more super chat from Kyle. Kyrick says, happy Pride Month. Collision was fun. Happy Pride, y'all. However you celebrate. To our girls, what's the good one to say? Ladies and gentle thems, guys, gals, and other pals. I love you all. You guys are fantastic. Wrestling is for who? Everybody. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Oh, wait. We got one more from Ricardo Little Singer. Wrestling and fight for are for who? What? Everybody. For life, everyone. Thank you guys so much for all the love. And the last one, they just said you'd be a fighting type. And I agree. Okay. She'd be with choke with all the arms.
Love it. I love it.
Is this person bothering you? It's Iridian.
I'm like, what's happening right here?
She takes two arms to hold you up and the other two arms are punching you in the face. Wrestling and Pokemon, what a combination.
Love it.
Next, we get the Kyle O'Reilly promo backstage saying that you, much like everybody else, is overlooking me. I'm going to walk out of tonight, the Intercontinental Championship. Spoiler alert, he lost. But I liked it. He wasn't wrong. It's wrong. Oh, it's Kylie Kress. I'm sorry. I'm dyslexic.
So sorry, Kylie. We love you.
I'm dyslexic. Come on now.
It's been a long Saturday night. We're so sorry. But thank
Saturday
you
night
so
for
much.
Fighting, not for reading. Do you agree with Kyle O'Reilly saying that you guys are overlooking me?
Absolutely. I feel like Kyle does not get the credit that he deserves. He's one of my favorite wrestlers. So I feel like people are going to be, oh, he's your favorite. You're just saying that. No, I feel like he genuinely gets overlooked. I know he's fairly new to the roster, but like, come on guys, we have to be doing something with him. And he's like, I know you guys think that, you know, we have bigger fish to fry, but people are overlooking. And I'm like, yes, exactly. Tell him, Kyle, I'm right there. And I agree with him. I'm very upset that he lost, but we'll get to that later because they had a fantastic match.
I agree. And speaking of fantastic matches, Daniel Garcia and Katsuyori Shibata as a tag team, just give them music at this point. And Shibata, when are you dancing? I want to see you dance, Shibata. I'm waiting with the translate. I think I will dance now. I am so ready for that. They were versus the Work Horsemen. And I don't know why everyone is acting surprised, because every time the Work Horsemen make an appearance, people are like, oh my God, the Work Horsemen. And then they put on a banger. They put on a slapper, a slobber knocker every time. And no, tonight was no different. First of all, welcome back, JD Drake. Coming back from injury, he did have a scary spot where people were like, oh my God, did he just get injured? The man just came back. But he finished that wrestling match like a champ. Daniel Garcia got his nipples chopped off. That match, JD Drake was slapping that young man, and I don't like that. That does not sit right with me and my spirit. But he slapped that man. And for someone being injured, JD...
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Drake was out here cooking. You would swear he was like, I'm trying to go for world champion. You better watch, Swerve. And that's nothing against Anthony Henry. Anthony Henry was playing his part, but this was really Garcia, JD Drake, because we barely saw Shibata this match. I don't even know how to describe the ending, because my last 2 points are X2 choke, holy shit, Garcia pins JD Drake. Iridian, what did you think of this phenomenal match?
I was excited because I'm like, yes, the Work Horsemen are back. Anthony Henry's also back from his injury. So I knew this was just going to be fantastic. Shibata and Garcia in the little matching gear. I saw it. I was like, okay, now matching potential. I appreciate it. Hopefully we can see a little bit more of that team going forward, because I do think that they work well together. But man, like you said, JD Drake has those chops and they absolutely looked vicious. There seemed to be like an issue with his knee during the match that happened like ringside. So I was a little scared. I was like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Insane. But man, Danny had a really good moment where he had like swinging neck breakers that were wild, and it were like back to back. again, they looked vicious, crazy. But Anthony Henry has some really, really good running knees. But JD's moonsault, it just makes me feel some type of way. That is so beautiful to look at. He's
injured where? Injured where?
Because not in this match, not tonight. That was amazing. And like you said, I feel like people are like, why are the workhorsemen here? Like, what's happening? But they put on bangers. These men are incredible. They are fantastic. They need to be featured more. We need to see more of the workhorsemen because they are incredible. They have never had a bad match.
I agree. And I remember when we first had this conversation when it was a workhorseman versus FTR and people were like, why are these guys here? And then he put on a slapper. After that, I thought we were done with this conversation, but I see it a little bit tonight online. So let's nip that in the bud right now. The workhorsemen are, they were them.
All they are those them. Girls. They are them.
They are the workhorsemen. They're out here working. They're working tonight. Also got to shout out those nasty pump kicks from Shibata. I was like, Shibata, this man is injured. You kicking him like he owes you money. Jesus Christ. Wow. They so good. We got another super chat from Twin Van Blake with a little LGBTQ herstory for you guys. Reminder, First Pride was a riot. A trans woman threw the first brick. Without Marsha P. Johnson, there's no pride. F cops, F corpo, fight for your rights. That's true. No matter what the movie tells you. I don't know if you guys watch RuPaul's Drag Race, but there was a drag queen named Derek Barry, and they were talking about Stonewall one time. And Derek Barry says, you know, for all the brave men and women that died at Stonewall, and Willem says, nobody died at Stonewall. Nobody died. Nobody was killed. Nobody died at Stonewall. So nobody died at Stonewall. But it was a riot. Fight for your rights. And again, wrestling is for who? Everybody. All right. I will say, I take that back. You know who wrestling is not for? Stokely Hathaway and Chris.
Because
this promo was diabolical. This promo was nasty work. And Stokely Hathaway, I'm calling your mother right now. That was nasty. That was so mean, so nasty. These two get on and say, you know what? We saw your comments. We spoke with our colleagues. And we owe you an apology. They pull out a gift basket. Or so I thought. As they go through the gift basket, it's like, wait a minute, this is trash. Oh, just like you, Willow. I'm like, Stokely, God don't like ugly. That's why he took your hair. That was very nice. That was very unnice. That was mean, wicked, nasty. And Statlander, T, he with it. I'm like, yo, Statlander, you're a clown. This promo was good. This is peak heel work. What did you think of this nasty work? And why should Stokely Hathaway go to jail?
They can never make me hate Chris Statlander, but I do dislike her a little right now at this moment. She was pulling out little bits and pieces of the trash. And I was like, ma'am, please, please. The fact that they were out here with a trash bin talking about, oh, that's you. I said, stop. I need to pause this immediately. I was watching it live. I had to pause it because I'm like, there's no way that they are disrespecting Willow like this right now. This is insane. Literally insane.
Chris Statlander's eye makeup, ooh, it was real cute. I did see that cut crease, girl. You ate that. But that promo was nasty work. That was diabolical. That was the banana.
And it was a great follow-up to the promo that they cut recently, too, talking about, like, you know, these people sneeze backstage, get a sinus infection, and don't show up to work. And I'm not even talking about the women's division. I was like, oh, my God. Please, I'm gonna have a heart attack. I can't handle this.
So rude. I'm happy that Stokely's having his moment. I can't hate Chris Statlander either. But Stat, you are with the shenanigans, the buffoonery, the chicanery. I don't know, Stat. Yeah. You've lost your way. Stop hanging out with Stokely. This man will lead you to ruin.
She's hanging out with him too much, and he always has to get the last word. Like, we could have just let her get the last word, and he didn't. So,
bro, so you could, Iridia could say, and this is how you solve world peace. And at the end, Stokely Hathaway, yeah, yo, bro, yeah. Shut up,
finish, sir. Let me get the last word. He's gonna get smacked. I feel like he's gonna get smacked eventually.
He already got smacked in the back of the head by Chris Statlander. There's a gift, literally, of her running down.
And you know what? I know this is not going to happen anytime soon, but we're going to get a recreation of that. Like, one day, Stokely's going to cross the line, and you're just going to see her go, bah, right in the back of his head.
It'll be Willow, and that needs to be the callback. Willow running down in the back of his head, or she hits him with the pounce like Adam Cole into the fucking into the crowd. Yes, into the crowd. That's what he deserves. That's what Stokely had. You know you're a good heel when someone's praying on your downfall.
That's insane. And you know what? Even better would be like into commentary. If they have commentary on the side.
Into Nigel McGuinness.
Tony Khan, you can have that idea for free 99.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. That would be too good. Pounce into Nigel McGuinness, and I can see Tony. Tony's like, before Nigel could even say anything, Tony is up. He's out of there, bro. What a good segment.
It was fun, and I think it was a nice break in between. Like, we had just had a really, really good match in between, like, Kyle's promo, and also that's when Roddy was yelling at Tony wanting a match. So I think it was a good placement for tonight, especially to remind us, like, Chris Statlander is her. So 10 out of 10 for that one.
Speaking of 10 out of 10, ladies and gentlemen, we want to bring you a 10 out of 10 word from our sponsor for tonight's show, Bet Online.
Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about betonline.ag, the official betting partner of Fightful. It's not just an online platform. They've been trusted for over 25 years. They boast a focus on the player approach and have built their reputation on offering their clients nothing but the best. From cutting-edge technology to enticing promotions and the latest sports betting odds, whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or football, baseball, basketball, or racing, anything you can think of, all major sporting events are covered by betonline.ag. Fast payouts, highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, safe and secure online environments, and their live betting feature allows you to bet on your favorites weekly and easily and in real time. betonline.ag. That's where we're going at Fightful. That's where we suggest you go as well. That's where we get all of our odds at. betonline.ag. Only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly.
Bet responsibly, bet what you can, don't bet your house. But hear me out. If you can't bet responsibly, super chats and humper chats to Crescent already fund this trip. We'll pack Rick in the suitcase. Don't worry. He'll be our carry-on. We'll Nigel McGuinness magic. So Iridium will take his torso. Yes. I'll take the feet. I'm sure TSA won't ask any questions.
No, TSA will all meet at one location. We'll be set to go. Yeah, we just need.
We won't get stopped by TSA. We did this, a torso.
Rick is gonna watch this back and be like, "What is going on right now?"
Rick, don't worry about. We miss you, Rick. We miss you. We then get Thunder Rosa versus Reina Dorada. I hope I said her name right, which means the Golden Queen. Period. First of all, both of their gear. Thunder Rosa has face paint. I got the nails, so I could do that. She did that.
ASMR. Love it.
But yes, this match was short and sweet. I wish it went a little longer. I feel like it took longer for Thunder Rosa to say her things at the end than the match.
Oh.
And I could say that about this match, the Cage of Agony match, and the Shane Taylor match as well, because I was typing a tweet. I was typing a tweet during the Thunder Rosa match because I said the Latinas is up because the girls was girling tonight.
Yep.
And my friend had said Seahawk is smiling somewhere. I'm like, damn, Seahawk will never know peace. And when I finished typing that tweet, this match was over. Thunder Rosa just hit a Tijuana bomb. And I was like, Tony, I just want to talk. Step outside. I just want to talk. Don't bring your jacket. Take off all your jewelry. I just want to talk. Take your shoes off, too, if you feel more comfortable. I just want to talk. Thank you for not 920, but I just want to talk. I want to talk. I want to talk. I want to talk. I just want to talk. What did you think, Iridium?
You know, one thing that I love about Thunder Rosa is that she's getting her match in the first hour, okay? She's going backstage and is like, I need to be on 20 minutes before the show's first hour ends. So shout outs to her for having that influence. It's the only women's match that we got, and it was so short. I'm like, this is so unfair. this is so unfair because, like you said, you know, Reina Dorada, incredible. She had fantastic gear. The women looked like they were about to kill it. And then they killed it for like, what, 3-4 minutes maybe? Or at least that's what it felt like because it just happened so quick. And I'm like, this sucks. I feel we go through this every single week. I'm sick and tired of this.
I just want to talk. I just want to ask you a question. I just a little talk. I just, to quote Roderick Strong, we're both Nick Strong. I just want to talk. I just want to talk.
Yeah. And to your point, after this women's match, it kind of felt like everything else seemed kind of rushed too. You know, the cage of agony, the gates of agony, what the team is.
Cage of agony with Brian Cage. It's gates of agony without Brian Cage.
Lord Jesus. The cage. Of agony. And then also Claudio and Johnny TV also seemed rushed. Same thing with Shane Taylor and then his match. And it just felt like they were rushing to get to Kyle and Will Ospreay. And when they got there, I was like, oh, we're going to have half an hour for this main event. Incredible. And then they still said, oh, we're going to have Swerve afterwards, which I'm like, oh, okay. Then I don't know why we needed that much time. We could have had Swerve before. I don't know. It just, the pacing seemed off with this one. And I'm like, we could have just given the women a little bit more time. If we were going to also rush the other matches, we could have gone without one of those. I don't know. But they, with what they had, the women did great.
I put that these ladies were grappling. And it's like you said, it's sad because they were getting the graps in, but I would rather, and this is just me, I would rather you cut a match completely instead of rushing through blitz, because it kind of just seems like I'm pressing A and using all my power moves on turbo, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I don't hate that, but I think it does a disservice to not just Thunder Rosa and Reina Dorada, Cage of Agony, Danny Rose, KM, this is getting to Danny Rose, KM, and Ricky G, squish squash. That match was just these poor young men getting thrown around for free. That was like what they call a snuff film.
That was insane. They really had, I think Danny was the one who got thrown up into the air. I was shook. I watched this and I literally gasped because I'm like, there's no way y'all really threw him up there like that. That was so high.
And is that your finisher? Just to throw you, just throwing someone up and walking away? I'm demoralized.
That was insane. I'm like, there's no way. But also that match was a squash match. If you would have just maybe also had them cut a promo backstage, that I think would have had more of an impact than them just going out there, because no one's going to remember that they had a squash match 2 weeks from now. Like, no, we could have given that to the women so they could have had more time.
Yeah, I get that they're also trying to build Cage of Agony, breaking off from Swerve, trying to build up some momentum. But I think there is something to be said about the promo that they cut, that you use us when you don't want to, you use us when you needed us. You know what I mean? So now it's like you're trying to build up of a momentum that they never had because you never put that on them. You know what I mean? Like, if you would have use them consistently, I could have seen them being around Swerve. Granted, Swerve is great by himself, but you should have used them consistently. And now at this point, we got to push them for trios.
Yeah,
it makes sense. And who has a trio title now? The Bang Bang Gang?
Yeah. And they mentioned that in commentary. They're like, oh man, they could be going for those trios titles. And I said, oh man, here we go. I mean, I don't know. I don't hate the idea, but also the momentum that they have right now is like starting at the bottom of the hill. They're not even halfway. Like,
yeah,
from the bottom. So something needs to get done with that. I don't know.
Even if they win the trios title, which I personally would not be against, because, and this is just me, Jay White needs a singles run. I don't know what you're doing with Jay White. Listen, I will say the Guns have elevated their stock immensely. Mm-hmm. And I think they're great. But Jay White is a star. And Juice Robinson needs to come back and say, what are you doing with these?
They're like, what's going on here? I completely agree with you. I thought actually that, you know, the Bang Bang Gang was going to be with the Acclaimed for a little bit longer. And then Juice was going to come back and be like, all right, this is too many people in the group.
Yeah.
We need to cut some people here. Y'all are not make it. You are no longer in the running towards becoming America's Next Top Model.
I can't stand you.
It's just going to be me and Jay White. So, I mean, even if, you know, they both have their singles run, I do love Jay and Juice together. I think they're fantastic. Like you said, the Guns, if we would have been talking about them 2 years ago, they are no longer in the same place that they were. Nope. these guys are championship material, and that's why they are champions right now. So I don't know. Something needs to get done. Gates of agony, cage of agony. It's not hitting for me right now, though. So we need to build that up.
Not Iridian saying you need to cut it. Wait, is that so relevant? Is that so relevant? My grandma, is that dated? Is that a dated reference? I have no idea. Next we get Mariah May and Toni Storm threatening Saraya. All I could tell you is Toni Storm saying, "How dare you, Saraya? Child, teat." And Mariah May like a magnet.
I was shook.
Comedy. This is comedy. Because Mariah May went head first, knowing Toni Storm's title was there, was like, thunk. That was Wile E. Coyote shit. And I lived. That was some Roadrunner Wile E. Coyote. And Toni Storm needs to drop that fucking title. But also, Toni Storm does not need to drop that title. She's too good, man.
I agree with you. She's too good. She's fantastic. And that's why I feel like she doesn't need that championship. I think that the champion right now for that title is Deonna Purrazzo.
Come on now. Talk your shh.
I think Deonna Purrazzo is that girl right now in the division. She is giving us these matches. I think she should have beat Toni Storm in that match that they had a while back. I think she would have been a fighting champion. Not to say that Toni Storm isn't. I just think that they're protecting her a little bit too much. And her gimmick is fantastic. They could really be building up that story with Mariah May, with other women in the division. I'm wanting to see Mariah May turn because she is also a fantastic wrestler. And I feel like they are wasting her right now. They're not giving us what we need when she's with Toni. So I just need something to happen here.
No, we are on the same page. You are my soul sister. Because I feel the same. I'm like, Deonna Purrazzo, and I've been covering her for 2 years now over on Impact. She is a fantastic talent. And I'm not saying Toni can't go. That's not what I'm saying at all. But knowing what I know about Deonna, give her that goddamn title. I think it is about time for Mariah May that you can sow the seeds of dissension. Mariah May gets turned on by Toni because I lost, and now it must be you because it's clearly not me. You're pretending to be me, so it must be you. You know, like there has to be something because, again, I think Toni Storm is so good. If we let this run its course, we will run into the same problem we had with Jade, where you're now squashing really good people because this gimmick is really good. And don't get me wrong, I liked Jade Cargo. I was in the minority, like, she ain't whatever. I liked the Goldberg gimmick. But the problem with it is, like, she squashed Athena. Now Athena's your forever champ. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you got to make it make sense. She squashed Taya. And I know what Taya used to do on TNA. So it's like, something's got to make sense here. I do think that if Deonna took it off of her, her next natural opponent would be, Thunder Rosa. And mm-hmm. Those matches would hump. Oh, my God. Those matches would be so good. No men on the card. Just Deonna Purrazzo versus Thunder Rosa for 20 minutes. Nobody else on the card.
Yeah, no. And she would be putting on amazing matches. And this would be the time when possibly Britt Baker comes back. And we know Deonna and Britt have history. It makes so much sense. And then Jamie Hayter could also come back from her injury. Like, there are so many possibilities. We need to start giving the women time with the championship because, yes, while you are building it up and giving it notoriety, you do run into that problem because, again, like, you brought in Ruby Soho, you brought in Taya, you brought in Deonna, like, you kept bringing women in to try, you know, and it didn't work out. We were just stuck with the same champion, and that's no fault to them. It's just hindering the championship at the end of the day more than it is making it better.
And I do think it is worth noting that while Mercedes right now is a TBS champion, eventually she's going to be world champion. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, your main event for that, if you want to give it justice, is Deonna Mercedes or Rosa Mercedes. And that's nothing against Toni Storm, because I think she can go, but I think the type of match that needs to be, it needs to be a serious match. And you're going to get that with Deonna Purrazzo, and you're going to get that with Thunder Rosa. And I think that's where we need to go. And again, I think Mariah May and Toni Storm we can start getting to that breakup now. And I just don't want it to be a stranglehold situation. And it's kind of, it's already a hostage situation. We're already kind of in a hostage situation.
Yeah, and I also do want to bring up something else. I know we're not talking about this match yet, but during Shane Taylor's match, they mentioned rankings. And I'm like, interesting that they're bringing up rankings now and that they're still a thing, because Mercedes got her championship main event. I'll say it in quotes because it was a triple main event. She had not had a match, and she immediately went for a championship. So if we're going to keep that energy for Mercedes, we also need to keep that energy for everyone else on the roster. Like, are we just giving out, not saying giving out championship opportunities, but you are not featuring some people because they don't have a ranking or because they're lower on the rankings. But Mercedes came in and she immediately got to main event and have a championship match. So we need to be consistent with that, because some of the women are not being featured.
I agree. And if we're also going to talk about it, because Swerve brought this up at the end segment too. So Roderick Strong could just go yell at Tony Khan and be like, we got neck health. I want to match. Again, Tony, I just want to talk. Come outside. I just want to talk. I'm not even going to yell at you, bro. I just want to talk.
We just need you to look at our notes and then we'll be okay.
Not these notes. I got these nails on. It looks like my nails look like ransom notes. Like, if you guys could see how I normally write, this looks like crap. But not to the, I just want to talk. I just want to talk, because like you said, the rankings got to make sense. Like, we spent so much time on this match. I don't even know where we are now, girl.
We're at the promo. We're now on Claudio versus Johnny TV.
Taya Valkyrie looked fantastic. Let's start there. Taya Valkyrie looks so good. Those boots.
She serves. She was on the Collision that we went to. Oh my goodness, she was beautiful. Fantastic. Where is she? Here we go talking about the women again. Why isn't she in the ring, Tony? We need to get her in there. No shade to Claudio and Johnny TV, but I was not paying attention to them. I was like, I wonder what Taya's doing. What's she doing with her life? And she did get involved in the match, which I'm like, yes, I do appreciate it. But this
she should have been ejected. She should have been ejected.
I was living for it. I was like, yes.
I mean, not for nothing, ref. How many times is she going to get dragged in before you're like, all right, you got to get out of here. But if you didn't eject the Undisputed Kingdom, who's meddling even worse? Mm-hmm.
Consistency is key in these things. Yeah. Yeah, if they didn't eject them, of course they were keeping Taya there. And she was doing her job. She was making sure that her man won. It didn't happen tonight, but it's okay. She tried.
Stand by your men. Guys, this match was athletic AF. I know we're giving it crap, but this was a really good match. Johnny TV and Claudio Castagnoli had a really stiff striking match in the beginning. I want to say in the second half of it, there was a part where Claudio Castagnoli had it with Taya. He's like, stop getting involved in my match. And yeah, I don't play that because I know how you give it up. I know you wrestle, man. I saw you in TNA. I'll give it to you, girl. And then Johnny TV does like this tornado spin sort of situation over the top turnbuckle onto Claudio. I'm like, I forget that as ridiculously muscly Johnny TV is, he has such a good moveset. He's so athletic. We do get the finisher because I almost called him Starship Pain. Jesus. Johnny TV goes to the top rope. He gets a yam bag shuffle, and then Claudio Castagnoli swings him and pins him. What did you think of this match? I know you say you were paying attention to Taya, but do you have any extra thoughts?
Yeah, no, I thought this match was fantastic. I would love to see it again. A best of three even would be really, really cool to see, because I think Johnny TV has just gotten lost in the sauce in AEW. And someone in the comments was like, you know, Taya has been booked consistently in Ring of Honor. I don't watch Ring of Honor. And is Ring of Honor under a paywall? I want to say you have to pay for Honor Club to watch Ring of Honor, right? Unless you get like those things on social media. A lot of people, I mean,
you
don't
could
watch
be a pirate, but we support the
yeah.
channels.
No. And I feel like a lot of people don't watch Ring of Honor because it is behind a paywall and they won't go that extra step just to watch it. And so again, that's unfortunate, because a lot of the people who sometimes get featured in AEW, you're like, okay, well, I never see them because I don't watch Ring of Honor. So that's why someone like me is lost in the sauce when you don't see Taya Valkyrie on AEW, but you see her on Collision, but she's not fighting, you know, her man is. So it's like, it's $10. I thought it was $5. That's
bro, TNA got rid of their $5 thing on YouTube. Now you got to go to TNA Plus. This is a cold world out here. And I know people are like, well, it's only $10. Some people don't even want to pay $275, $290 for a Metro card, girl. It's tough times out here. $10,000 go to bread and milk and eggs, girl. Not for no wrestling. Not for no grabs.
That's insane. Like, so I watch AEW and like TV through my Hulu and stuff. So Hulu TV. So I pay, I think it's like $60 for that. So could you imagine I have to pay another $10 to watch Ring of Honor, another $5 for Peacock to, or however much that's worth, to watch WWE stuff. Like, that all adds up. That's insane. That's insane.
We're in a recession, baby. Mm-mm. And unless Tony gonna fund us all to go to Double or Nothing, I gotta go to work. I gotta go to work. And I'm lucky. I live in New York. I get on a train. If I put gas in my car, oh no, girl.
Same thing. I pay $2.50 to go to work and then $2.50 to come back from work. Okay. So the train has saved my life. I literally thought it was $5. $10. That's insane. And then you still have to buy the pay-per-views for AEW.
Listen, if I was rich, I'd buy it for everyone. I would make sure everybody, every home, but I'm not rich. I'm Cresta Star. Anyway, we do get something from, what is this, the Premier Athletes thing? I was disinterested until I saw Trent at the end. I'm like, Trent, what the hell are you doing with these guys? Trent, get the hell out of here. No, no. These guys are jobbers.
No, that promo, I was like, what is going on here? And I was like, are these new people? And then I'm like, it's not new people. These people have been here. Like,
I was so good. Like, Trent, why are you hanging out with these guys? You just got out of a group. No. Stop. Flee. Call your mother.
Trent has really lost his way. But you know what? I really hope he brings an end to the Don Callis family. That is my hope. Takeshita needs to be out of there immediately, okay? Kyle Fletcher needs to be out of there immediately. Is Will Ospreay still there? Who knows? But that family needs to be destroyed because they are not doing anything. It's not like when the Blackpool Combat Club was first formed and they were causing mayhem and you're like, this is insane. This is amazing. Don Callis just put all these people together and you're like, okay. So Trent, this is your saving grace. If you break up the Don Callis family, I'm here for it.
You know what? You son of a bitch, I'm in. That's really good. That's really good. Nah. Because I can't sit up here. I may joke, but I like to give constructive criticism too. If I'm going to say anything, I'm not going to call these men jobless or enhancement talent and then hear a good idea. I'm like, you know what? It's a good way to put them in the limelight. All three of these men are good. They did this whole thing on Josh Woods. I'm like, you were here, but you were with that other guy who I really didn't care for. Now you're under the tutelage of Ari Daivari with Tony Nese, who I've seen before. So I'm like, okay, this could work. Take down the Don Callis family. Take out the human hot dog. Yeah, just do it. Let's do it. I'm Aridian. You spitting. You that's a big brain play. That's a big brain. Or yo, $5 to Gryffindor just for you.
Not the $5. Not even 5 points. You said $5. The
$5 muggle dollars. Do with that as you will.
I'm dead. I love that. Yeah, I think that's what Trent needs to do because I don't know him signing that contract and being with Don Callis, unless he's genuinely going to be pushed as like the guy, which is hard when you had Kyle and you have Takeshita in your group. Like, there's no way. There's no way.
The downfall of the Callis family right now. And listen, if you guys got to join up with Cage of Agony,
do it.
But then after that, you got to take down Jeff Jarrett's family, okay? Thank you very much. Yeah. Dude, you guys are going to be the cleanup crew of AEW, okay? Just those two first. These guys are I think Tony Schiavone said that Don Callis is a black mark on wrestling or something like that. Yes, that's something really, really insidious about Don Callis.
This little group might be able to do something if they're just taking out the factions that are unneeded. Jericho, I think that might be the first one. That might have to be the first one to go.
Nah, I'm on. Well, maybe Don Callis is the final boss because he do got a lot of bangers in there. So right. We do Jericho first. Mm-hmm. Then we do Jeff Jarrett because there's a million people who will always help Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah.
And then we go after the Callis family because they do have Ospreay. We can't discount Ospreay.
That's true. Yeah, he just main evented. And he
not his fantasy book in the downfall of these factions. Like, we start with Jericho. We getting rid of him. And if you guys want to make a detour on the gangbang gang, we can get rid of them too. So Jay White can go single. Like, let's... You guys can be the cleanup crew. We got you. We got the booking for the next 10 years, Tony. Next week is Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty representing Shane Taylor Promotions with Anthony Ogogo with the West Coast Wrecking Crew. Now, I've heard about these guys from New Japan before, but they got no intro. They got a little video package before, but couldn't tell you what the video package said. Sorry, guys, I'm dying. There was a beautiful flatliner on Isaacs in the beginning into the turnbuckle. There was chest chops on Isaacs from Shane Taylor. And the last note I have for this is, I don't know if Shane Taylor said this or if Tony Schiavone was repeating it, that Shane Taylor said it. But Shane Taylor yelled at Isaacs and said, the technical wrestling portion is done in this match, and then slapped the shit out of this man. I was like, yikes. Because Lee Moriarty was out there doing the pretzel this. And Shane Taylor said, I don't do all of that. Like, yikes. I don't really got any notes because that whatever that finisher was, that inverted muscle buster on Jarrell Anthony, I'm calling the cops. That was disgusting.
I'm on there on the same page with you. I literally only have two bullet points, and one of them is about Mercedes, and she wasn't even in this match because they mentioned the rankings. So I was like, Anthony Ogogo was a nice addition to this group, to Shane Taylor. I think he really does add something to Shane Taylor Promotions. I love watching Lee Moriarty in the ring. I think he's fantastic. Same thing with Shane. I think they work really well together. And they just, their styles are so different. I feel like Lee is, again, more technical, and he takes his time, and he's, you know, at the same time, he's quick, and he just strikes really fast. But Shane is like about no games. Okay. This man is there to hurt you. And we saw it in this match, and I didn't even get to write the other people's names down, 'cause I was like, oh my God, everything happened so quick, but this is a good match. I liked it.
It was kind of a squash too. It was a quick match. It wasn't offensive. I just wish that I've heard about these guys from New Japan. I kind of just wish we did a little bit something more for them instead of giving them the get out there and be somebody.
Yeah.
This next segment offended me because I wanted to go to Titty City.
Goodbye.
And for no reason, this dinosaur attacked the Iron Savages, and all they did was invite us to Titty City. I wanted to go to Titty City. I don't even know why Killswitch did this. But then again, Killswitch is a dinosaur, and dinosaurs have little brains, and maybe he saw food and was hungry. The guy's name is Bear, and I would assume if I was a dinosaur, I would eat a bear. So that you know, that's just the logic I had going into this.
You know what? Yeah, I feel like a lot of what Luchasaurus does, I'm going to call him Luchasaurus because I can't. There's just no way. I think a lot of what he does, like, it doesn't need explanation. I think you can't blame him for what he does, right? He doesn't know better. He's with Christian. He's a dinosaur. That's already two things he's got going against him, you know? So it is what it is. But it's interesting to see if now they are going to feud, like, as Christian and as Nick Wayne and Luchasaurus against Titty City. We'll have to see.
Iron Savages no more. Titty City.
Titty City. Sorry, Iron Savages.
Not a strip club. Not a women. Men. Titty Wrestling. City.
Wrestling. Insane. Oh my God. It was great.
Do you think they have a Boo Boulevard on Titty City?
Oh my goodness. They have those little street signs. You know, the ones that you like you make whatever on them. There's a Titty City to the left. The
Boo Boulevard.
To the right.
Chest squares. We're getting demonetized. I'm so sorry, Sean. I know you trust me with this show. I'm so sorry. This is a mature channel. This is where you get your scoops. So, guys, we're heading into the last stretch. It is almost, it's past 11 o'clock. It's past our bedtimes. We now have the international title match.
Yes.
So if you have your Humper Chats and your Super Chats and get you've it. Got anything else you want us to say before we go, get them in. We are coming on the home stretch. We have Will Ospreay versus Kyle O'Reilly. Will Ospreay is the champion going into this match, and this match was a slobber knocker. I had a good time watching this match. It was very technical. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, Iridian.
Yeah.
I haven't been watching consistently. Adam Copeland relinquished his title because they were talking about that in the beginning of the match. Like, well, since the TBS title is no longer, what happened with that? Educate me, please.
Yeah. So Adam Copeland got injured in his cage match against Malakai. And then on Dynamite, the Young Bucks came out and said that he was injured and therefore he was going to have to relinquish that title. Now, the Young Bucks were going to immediately give it to Jack Perry. They were like, we know somebody who could use that championship. He's right here, the scapegoat. So, of course, Jack Perry gets all excited. And that's when Christopher Daniels comes out and he announces, hey, we're actually going to have a tournament for this title. So they're going to have a little tournament now. Yeah, but Adam got injured. And I'm just like, no, that's so unfortunate. And also, Nigel on commentary had mentioned like, oh, yeah, well, you know, Adam had, you know, is retired, and he's like, oh, well, he had retired. He you know, he's not the champion anymore. And I'm like, terrible choice of words, Nigel. Like, come on.
Certified hater. But also, if I'm Malakai Black, I'm pissed. We just gonna put on a tournament? Like, I didn't just, technically, I took out your champion.
Exactly.
So I should have first, if I'm Malakai Black, I guess I gotta go to the back and yell at Tony!
Give me my match!
Like, maybe it's time to put him in some blood, because that don't make no sense. You're gonna have a whole tournament, and I'm the one who literally injured your...
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that, so you just said it right now. You're right. Makes sense.
Tony, just come on. I just want to talk to you 2 seconds. This is just step outside, leave your shoes and jewelry and your jacket. Just come outside.
And if you're watching tonight's specific episode, Tony, shout outs to you. We love you.
We love you. But... I would never do such a thing. What do I look like? The Bucks? Hire me.
I'm dead. Oh my God.
So, but anyway, back to the Will Ospreay, Kyle O'Reilly match. This match was good. I feel like we all knew what the conclusion was going to be, unfortunately for Kyle O'Reilly. But that doesn't mean that this match didn't go. Kyle O'Reilly was doing everything he could to break Will Ospreay's arm. He said, you're not going to hit me with that hidden blade, no Tiger Driver, no Storm Zero. That's not happening. At one point, he gets Will Ospreay into this triangle choke. And it looks like Will Ospreay was going to tap. I was like, wait a minute, just a second. Is that it? We still got like 15 more minutes. What's happening?
Yeah.
Will Ospreay almost passes out, comes back alive, hulks up, deadlifts the man into a power bomb to make Kyle O'Reilly relinquish it. That was insane. This man hits a hidden blade out of nowhere. And Nigel says, where was that blade coming from? Oh my God, it was a hidden blade. I'm like, well, it's called, you know, hidden blade for a reason. Cause you know,
an
unseen blade is deadly. It's hidden, you know. We do get we are at 5 minutes at the end, and I'm like, this 5 minutes, and there's still a whole nother segment. But we get two more hidden blades onto Kyle O'Reilly into a Storm Driver because he was contemplating the Tiger Driver 91, or is it 97?
Yeah.
It's 91, because 91, I'm like, 91 is Cactus Driver, and that's the one where they drop you right on your stack of dimes neck, and that's what took out Danielson. And he's like, I'm not doing that. That's how he gets the win. Before we go into post-match and everything, what did you think of this? I want to say a technical masterpiece. I thought this match was really good.
Oh, my God. I don't have enough great things to say about this match. Again, Kyle is one of my favorite wrestlers. So I know this pairing was going to be phenomenal. I knew they were going to have a banger match. And also what I loved is that this match got a really good amount of time. So they were really able to build. And that's how people are able to get invested. That's how your excitement builds, is that you give them time and you're like, oh my God, yes. I went in there thinking, yeah, well, Ospreay's going to win. But halfway, I'm like, well, wait a minute. Maybe Kyle could win. And I think that's what made this match great compared to all of the other matches that we saw throughout the night, is that we kind of knew where every other match was going to fall. And this one, you were like, there is something that could go kind of either way in the middle of this match. And I think that's why this was the match of the night. 10 out of 10. It was fantastic. That Oz cutter, Ospreay was trying to hit, and then he got caught. O'Reilly put him in an armbar immediately. That was like, oh my God, that was amazing. I loved it. I also love when Kyle gets like almost thrown out of the ring, but he like recuperates and comes back and just is always amazing. Kyle needs to be building towards a championship. I don't care which one it is. You need to put him in a storyline because he just put on a fantastic match with the guy in AEW right now. You could argue that MJF is now back, so MJF is the guy. But Will Ospreay right now, that man is up there. So I don't know who Kyle is going to be fighting, but he needs to be put in the championship picture because he deserves it. This match was fantastic. Match of the night for me. What did you think about it? Did you love it?
Yes. No, I totally agree. I feel like we've got to do something with Kyle O'Reilly. And I it's not a bad problem to have because I think that AEW has that with a lot of wrestlers where this person is good. This person is good. This person is good. Yeah. You've got so many good chess pieces, not enough winning things for them. You know, there's too many titles, but simultaneously not enough titles. You know what I mean? So I think this match is a good testament to where you could put Kyle O'Reilly, where he stands. And I think you brought up an interesting point with MJF being back. MJF is the guy, but like, so is Will Ospreay. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see what would transpire with Will Ospreay versus MJF. I'm very interested. I don't know what's going to happen. And listen, I'm not one of those people going to sit up here and say that MJF is the worst wrestler, but I don't see MJF doing what Will Ospreay doing.
Uh-huh.
Well, I want to see what's going to transpire. I would love to see it. I want to see it.
And it's crazy, right? Because they have such different talents. Like, Will Ospreay can cut a good promo, but MJF could cut a great promo, right? Will Ospreay's having 10 out of 10 matches, 5-star matches, right? Whatever 5 stars means. But MJF is also having fantastic matches. So that would I know that pairing is going to be amazing. I know they're not going to give it to us right off the bat, and they might just, you know, go their opposite directions for now. But when they do meet, that is going to be the match. It's going to be incredible.
It's going to be palpable because right now it's one of those, you've booked yourself into a corner. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
But even then, even if we wait a year, it's like, you've booked yourself into a corner. What are you going to do? Because MJF, I feel like when I think of MJF, I think of AEW. Those are one of those people, these names that are synonymous, especially after the promo. He said, I got it tattooed. I bet on myself. I'm not going no. Call me the Wolf of Wrestling. That was so good. That was so good. So
that was
good.
Crazy. That, yeah, what he said was crazy. The t-shirt was terrible, but what they need a little bit more budget for that one. But man, MJF, incredible now that he's back. But again, you could argue that he's not the guy right now because the guy is Will Ospreay.
And we talking about Will Ospreay like he's the world champion because the champion is Swerve.
That's insane, right? Because you're thinking that.
And Swerve again, is the guy too. Like,
yep. And now let's talk about Swerve because he cut his promo after this. But like, again, he was like, anybody could just go demanding these matches with me. I'm the guy. Like, you know, like we said, he's the guy right now. With a guy like Will Ospreay also, you could argue that Will Ospreay has been a little bit, you know, higher than they've been having Swerve, which is insane because he is holding your top championship in the company.
My gripe with Swerve, and this is not anything he's doing, I just wish that the presentation that they're giving Ospreay, you would give to Swerve, because that's your world champion. That is your world champion. Nothing against Ospreay. I think he's an amazing wrestler. But if Ospreay is going to put on this type of match on Collision, I better see that same type of match coming out of Swerve
on Dynamite.
Like, we got to do something. I know this isn't a super chat and Drew works here, but I want to put this up because Drew makes a good point. Does AEW need to brand split Dynamite and Collision? It might be time. I'm low-key inclined to agree with that, and I think it would have happened with CM Punk with that real championship had he not choked out one young Jackathan Perry for using real glass. So I don't know, but it might be because there's too many guys. Mm-hmm. Like, this person's the guy. Swerve is the guy. But so is Ospreay.
Yeah.
But low-key, so is Adam Cole. Low-key, so is Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
Low-key, so is Christian. Low-key, so is Kyle. There's so many people who are... Brody King at any moment could be the guy, bro. Like, Malachi Black at any moment could be the guy. There are so many people that could be the guy that it might literally be time for Collision World Champion and Dynamite World Champion, and Rampage is a smosh fest. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, and it's crazy. I agree with Drew. I think it actually might be time. And I know Tony Khan was talking about possibly having 3 hours worth of Dynamite, which I don't think that we need. I don't think that's...
Don't raw me, dog.
I don't think that that's the answer. I think if you split up the brand, you could pair up Collision and Rampage and promote, be like, hey, Friday night, these are the ones that we have, you know, these 2-3 matches, and then promote that. Oh, and tomorrow we're having this and this, you know, so we're just kind of like togethering them, or, you know, putting them together, and then just kind of having those 3 hours then, because it kind of makes sense. Because again, where is Ricky Starks? That man was supposed to be on Collision. He was supposed to be the face of Collision. You could have argued, hey, Ricky's on Collision, Ospreay's on Collision, you have MJF on Dynamite, you have like your top champs. Not to say that they're secondary champs in AEW, but like, you know, you have the AEW championship on Dynamite, you have the All Atlantic championship or the Intercontinental championship on Collision and Rampage. Like, I feel like, I don't know, sometimes my mind is just running. I might just be making up championship names at this point, throwing things out there. Like,
no, I don't think you're wrong. I just think that there there has to be something where we can, like you said, Ricky Starks. There are lots of people who deserve to be rewarded for their hard work in AEW. And like Swerve said, you can't just go up and demand a match. That's BS. You know what I mean? And again, Roderick Strong is good. I know he's going to beat Roderick Strong. But now I think about, so wait, at Forbidden Doors, it's a title match? So we're going to have two champs? So what, we just going to take it off of Swerve? Men are like that. So
and again, and why bring up rankings if you can just go into the back and ask for a championship match? Like, there's a line of people who are ahead of you, and you just kind of cut everybody, and you just lost your championship, dude. No shade.
That's a fact.
Like, you can't just lose it and then go straight to the top. Like, you bring it up on commentary, so there has to be some consistency here. That's why Swerve was all confused in this promo. He's like, what is going on?
I'm confused too. Again, Roderick Strong looking like a math teacher. You're gonna have to explain the equation to me, because the math ain't math. If you just lost your championship and you won one match, how does that equal a world title shot? If Johnny had two apples, Roderick.
Not the slamming of the table. We're frustrated.
I don't know, man. Like, again, I am looking forward to Forbidden Door because I think I'm going to go regardless. So I'm going to be up in New York. It's in New York. I'm going.
Fantastic.
But it's like, what do we do with that? Because I don't think Roderick Strong, even with the cheating, I think finally the Undisputed Kingdom is going to get ejected. Even with the cheating, I don't know what we do here. And does that mean the All Atlantic title is going to go to Swerve too? Because I don't think Swerve should lose that. I think Ospreay will be fine. The way you guys have been treating Ospreay is the way you should have been treating Swerve, and he'll be fine. Mm-hmm. That's just how I feel about it. I think Ospreay, much like Danielson, can lose.
Yeah. Again, talking about the brand split, we got a chat. Yeah, sorry, no brand split in AEW. We have Ring of Honor. Thank you, Ernie Phoenix 23. No, I literally just said I don't watch Ring of Honor. It's $10.
I think Ring of Honor also needs to have its own identity. I think Ring of Honor really needs to have its own identity. And I think that's part of the problem. And as somebody who hears the complaints coming from the Impact show, like the crossover, it's one of those things where it's like, you've got your Ring of Honor people on Dynamite and Collision losing, coming back to Ring of Honor like nothing happened. You gotta give Ring of Honor its own identity, like really, truly, honestly speaking. And you can't use Ring of Honor like NXT for AEW. I don't know. You know what I mean? Because if that's the case, when Athena eventually drops the title, she's gotta be whoever your world champion is. She's got to. Don't ask her. She's got to.
It's crazy that you bring up Athena, because if in case a brand split didn't happen, you know, the guns are on AEW all the time. They are your, you know, Ring of Honor champions. Same thing with Jay White, right? Like, those are the trios. Like, why are they constantly shown, but then some people in Ring of Honor are not shown? We have never seen Athena come up on a Dynamite or a Collision. Like, it might have been like one or two times before, but like, she is heavily protected to stay on Ring of Honor, and it just doesn't go both ways like that. So they are protecting her, and you're like, oh, okay, I know I have to see Ring of Honor because Athena is going to be there, and that's the only place that I can see her. So we need to be consistent with who we're going back and forth with. Cause like, again, people are saying, oh, Taya's, you know, booked consistently on Ring of Honor. Anna Jay's been doing great on Ring of Honor. But then like, what are we doing with them? It doesn't make any sense.
Not me breaking two nails.
We need to end the stream. All right, guys, we've had a wonderful time here with you. Send in the final chat. Send in the final chats. We appreciate you. We love you. You could be anywhere else, but you're here with us on a Saturday night. We have gone through it tonight, okay?
I'm gooped. Lady, that's it. We're done. We're done. Iridian, where can they find you? I hate this. This is the worst day ever. Iridian, where can they find you? I look for my other nail. I'm such a disaster.
You guys can head over to YouTube and type in Rest Friends. That's W-R-E-S-T Friends. I just uploaded my Vegas vlog so you can see how close I was to Nigel's magic show on stage. So you can see what happened on the trip. I was there for like 5 days. It was amazing. I also posted a podcast about it. I talked literally about every restaurant that I went to, how it was. That's the Rest Friends podcast. So make sure that you follow me on all social media, Iridian_Fiero. Caresta, where can our beautiful, beautiful followers find you?
At the nail salon. You guys can find me on Twitter. You guys can find me on Twitter at Cresta the Star, like Megan the Stallion. Yeah, I have a link tree in my bio. You can find me over on this channel Saturdays and Thursdays. Thursdays I cover everything TNA with Joel Pearl, and Saturdays it's myself, Iridian Ricochino. We go over all things Collision. Again, if that was a lot, you can find me over on Twitter, X, Cresta the Star. There's a link tree in my bio. I sell stuff on TikTok too, so get it done. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. I'm such a disaster. Guys, take care of yourself and each other. Happy Pride for myself and Iridian. We're having a good one. I hope you are having a good one too. Good night.
Yes,
goodbye.
Happy birthday, Joe Pearl. Happy B-Day.
Oh, happy birthday, Joe Pearl. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, goodbye. End stream. Blah, 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 blah.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.